Hello, you're watching Talking Europe. War on Europe's doorstep has been raging for nearly 3 years, and an escalating conflict in the Middle East has further put the EU to the test over the past 12 months. My guest has had some heavy diplomatic lifting to do, given these multiple crises. He's the EU's outgoing High Representative for Foreign and Security Policy, Josep Borrell. He's also Vice President in the outgoing European Commission. Mr. Borrell is a former President of the European Parliament and a former Foreign Minister of Spain. Welcome to the program. Let's start with the killing of the Hamas leader in Gaza, Yahya Sinwar. You've tweeted about this, saying that he was a terrorist and an obstacle to a much-needed ceasefire. But does Israel killing him actually make it even more difficult to reach a ceasefire now?
I don't know. But the ceasefire has to be reached. The hostages has to be released. Gaza has to stop being destroyed, and let's start for looking at sustainable peace between Israelis and Palestinians. Otherwise, we will be in the same situation some years from now.
Well, what are your next steps then to try and actually clinch this truce?
Well, we launched at the last United Nations General Assembly week in New York an alliance between many countries around the world in order to try to push for the Palestinian state. Look, the Palestinians exist. The Palestinians are not all terrorists. The Palestinian has the right to have its own state, have its own dignity. And the only way to ensure security for the Israelis is to make peace with the Palestinians. And this is a hard job, which has been failing for years and years, but now it's an occasion to try to do it and to put all the political energy on that.
And on Lebanon, because of course you've got this huge challenge of trying to reach a ceasefire in Lebanon as well, while the situation in Gaza is going on, how are you planning to get to that?
Now, I don't have a magic wand to solve the problems of the Middle East, but the Lebanon is another example. Israel has invaded Lebanon 3 times in the last years. This will be the 4th time. And this time is still worse because they are attacking the United Nations troops. And this time it has created more people being killed in Lebanon than in the previous war. More than 2,000.
But it's interesting, you just said Israel has attacked the UN force in southern Lebanon. The EU summit, which just took place, the conclusions, they say in paragraph 20, we condemn the attacks on UNIFIL. It doesn't actually say who is doing the attacking. Is this kind of a lack of stating the obvious?
Well, this is the diplomatic equilibrium between the different positions inside the inside the European Union. But it's clear the United Nations troops have been attacked, no? Yeah. It's clear that the Israelis themselves have recognized that they did, by mistake, yeah. But they did it.
Yeah, you mentioned the equilibrium between different different sensitivities, whatever, in the EU. The Foreign Minister of Luxembourg puts it slightly differently. He says there's a confetti of positions on the international stage and nobody really listens to the EU anymore. Would you agree with that, or is he going too far there?
Well, my role is to try to forge a common position in order to have a common policy, in order to make our voice to be understood in the world. If there are 27 different opinions, certainly the world will not listen to us. In some cases, I manage to do that. In some cases, I don't manage. In the case of the Middle East, it has been impossible to talk with a single voice because the positions are too much different.
There's going to be a meeting about the... Well, there may be a meeting, it's not totally sure, about the EU-Israel Association Agreement, which, of course, has a human rights component. Would you be in favour of seeing an actual suspension of that agreement based on Israel's actions?
Well, I am working for having this association agreement. But with which agenda? Certainly, we cannot have an association agreement without talking what's going on in Gaza, without talking about how Israel is doing this war. Some member states have requested to the Commission, and the Commission did nothing, requested, do you want to make an analysis if the Israel behavior, the army, the government, Netanyahu government, is in accordance with their obligations to respect human rights? This is an important question to answer, because everybody agrees that it has to be in accordance with. But the answer has to be discussed. So member states will be more inclined to say no, or they will be saying yes, or they will be, let's discuss about it. This is what they have to do. But look, we cannot have an association council with Israel without discussing about the war in the Middle East.
I hear what you're saying. Let's move on to Ukraine. President Zelensky presented what he called his victory plan to the EU Council. You have said that we need to that Europe needs to support Ukraine stronger and faster, but there's still this blockage on the 6.6 billion euros through the European Peace Facility. Again, there's no magic wand, I guess, but what would be the way forward on that?
I am confident that in my last Foreign Affairs Council in December, I will find the magic wand and will put that solution on the table. But this is not the only blockage. There are other differences on approach about how to perform our support to Ukraine. The issue of the long-range missile, the issue of have we to authorize Ukraine to use our arms in order to hit Russia into the Russian territory? This is maybe a more important issue that the 6 billion.
Have you been arguing for allowing those longer-range missiles then to your colleagues?
Well, this remains a national competence. Some member states are ready to do that, and they do, and others, they don't want to do it.
You've mentioned that the EU spends so much less on its military research and development than the US, 14.4 billion euros compared to 100...
10 times less.
Yeah, 10 times less. So does that mean that this Trump-proofing of Europe is not going so fast?
Well, the Europeans on the last, 15 years, we have gone through a process of disarmament without saying we have done it. And now we see the war at our doors, and now we see a world in which force is needed, in which force is being used. And if you want to exist in this world, you have to have a military capacity, in particular because you cannot be sure that the American umbrella will always be there to protect you. And the Americans and the Europeans have to work together in NATO, but the Europeans have to work at home in order to have their own capacity. It means spending more and better on defense capacities.
Quick question about something which was very much front and center at the last EU summit. We've seen this shift in rhetoric on migration, a lot of emphasis on a kind of security-based approach, even talk about hubs outside the EU. What do you make of this shift in rhetoric we've seen over the last few weeks especially?
Well, migration is an important problem for the European societies, but many European societies, in particular the country I'm coming from, Spain, will not be able to work without an import influx of migrants. So what afraids people is the irregular migration, the illegal migration, the smuggling, the people who risk their lives, and some of them lost their life trying to reach Europe. But we need to make a migration a regular process. And this means to work with the countries of origin and transit, convincing people that to come to Europe illegally is not worthwhile to take the risk. And at the same time, to offer the possibility for regular migration in order to receive the people that we need without putting them at risk and without broken the cohesion of European societies. This is a difficult task, but only a security approach will not work.
So you're nearing the end of your five-year mandate. When your predecessor was asked about sort of the main achievements during her term, she mentioned the Iranian nuclear deal and the Paris Climate Accord. What would be your kind of signature foreign policy result, would you say?
To make the Europeans to understand that to trade, to have economic relations, and to preach the rule of law is not enough in the world in which we are living, and we need to build capacities that makes us to speak the language of power, as I said on the first day of my mandate.
Any particular regret from the last 5 years?
Not being able to make a common position in the Middle East.
Thank you so much, Mr. Borrell. Josep Borrell, High Representative for Foreign and Security Policy of the European Union, speaking to me here on Talking Europe. Do stay with us.